I'll share for a few more minutes before we close. I was reading a couple of verses, or one verse in particular recently, which I've always read one way, and when I read it, I saw something different there, so I wanted to share that with you. And I think it, in some ways, ties in with what Andrew has been sharing in terms of walking by faith, and some of the examples, the two examples that he used, walking by faith, obviously in the midst of a trial. But this one is very familiar. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." So you don't have to answer out loud. What do you think of when you hear this verse? "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And all of you may say to me afterwards, "Tim, what I'm about to share, I've seen it that way the whole time." And if that's the case, I will say that's wonderful. I've just come to this revelation, but I'll share it with you anyway, perhaps for the one that maybe still sees it a different way. So what I'd always just seen was rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. We have this verse in James where it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren," right? So when I thought of this, I'd always just thought, I need to rejoice, but I hadn't tied that rejoicing to really anything. It was just, I just need to be rejoicing. I just need to be rejoicing. And I'd always missed the three words that are tied with it. And in fact, Paul says it at Philippians 3:1. So he says it starts off Philippians chapter 3 and near the beginning of Philippians chapter 4 with the same words, rejoice in the Lord. And I'd miss the "in the Lord." Delight yourself, David says, in the Lord. And it was something for me that I was like, wow, I can't believe I've kind of missed that point. I'd always just read rejoice. That's the part that had stood out to me. And rejoicing is good. But it was really interesting to me when I began to think about this. Let me read you this. I just actually looked this up, but this is a snippet from, I just thought, I'm curious what a commentary might say on this passage. So this is what Matthew Henry said. Philippians 4:4 says, "All our joy must terminate in God, and our thoughts of God must be delightful thoughts, meditating on the goodness of God." I know, Greg, you've shared this recently. Just, you know, when anything else fails, God is good. Right? Meditating on that one simple fact. If everything else around us is not going good, we know God is good. And meditating on that. He says here, observe, it is our duty and privilege to rejoice in God and to rejoice in Him always, at all times, in all conditions, even when we suffer for Him or are afflicted by Him. We must not think the worse of Him or of His ways for the hardships we meet with in His service. There is enough in God to furnish us with matter of joy in the worst circumstances on earth. He said it before, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." So he's referring back to when Paul said it in Philippians 3:1. Here he says it again, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Joy in God is our duty of great consequence in the Christian life, and Christians need to be again and again called to it. If good men have not a continual feast, it is their own fault. If good men have not a continual feast, it is their own fault. So the question, are we having a continual feast? I was reading some passages this morning, and they're very familiar passages where God talks. And I know I've shared specifically on this before, where he uses the analogy of being hungry and being thirsty. And I was just reminded of that this morning. I was looking in John 6, and he's talking to them. He says, "I am the bread of life. You know, if you aren't willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not going to have any life in yourself." And in the end, we know what happens. A bunch of the disciples that were following him left because this was such a difficult thing. There's another place John says in 1 John, he says that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Or the woman at the well, right? This picture of being thirsty. I have one child in particular who we refer to kind of as a camel. Like, this child is always desperately thirsty and can drink a behemoth amount of water, it seems, at all times. You know, this feeling of being thirsty. I need to drink something. We all know what that feels like. We all know what it's like to be hungry and just be just hungry. And when you're hungry or when you're thirsty, where is your mind? Like, it's on like one thing only. It's like, I got to get food. I got to get something to drink, right? And so that's why Jesus used these examples, because he's like, everybody understands this. Right? Everybody understands what it's like to be hungry and to be so consumed with filling that hunger, or so thirsty. We can be driving and we just, I'm thirsty, I need water. We have no water in the truck. I need water. We have no water in the truck. You're going to have to wait till we get home. I need water. Like this is, it's consuming, right? And it doesn't matter how many times you explain to them, I can do nothing to satisfy this thirst at the moment. It's like, it's just, I need that. And so it is in our life, right? God, I think, allowed that naturally so we know what it's like inside. Right, when all of a sudden we are just, we're every one of us, the same way we, and I've said this before, the same way we get hungry and thirsty naturally, we get hungry and thirsty, I'm going to use the word spiritually, but every one of us is looking to be satisfied, right? And when that hunger's there, it just keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and when we're thirsty, it keeps going, right? We're hungering and thirsting for something. And so if we're not finding that in God, if we're not having that continual feast in God, then we're going to go, that hunger is going to drive us somewhere else. Right? So the question is, are we finding it in Jesus Christ? Can we say, and I'm challenged by this, because I would have to say, like, am I there? No, this is definitely an area where I don't believe I've arrived, where I could say, do you rejoice in the Lord continually? This is why the psalmist, you get the glimpses where the psalmist would say, I meditate on you in the night watches, or something like that, right? Because his mind, how do you rejoice in the Lord and his goodness? The only way to do that is the fact that you're meditating on how good he is. You're meditating on his promises. You're reminding yourself of his promises. You're reminding yourself of the ways that he's been good to you, especially when some of the most difficult things have happened. I've lost a child, to be able to say, God is good. I remember watching one of these movies and they had this expression, and I've heard it other places too. God is good all the time, God is good. Something like that, right? To be able to say, no matter what the circumstance, God is good, and I rejoice in the goodness of my God. Or to be in a situation like Andrew was sharing, that our sister's in, where sometimes I can't even have my children around because they cause me to just, poof, and my head to swirl. To be able to say, God is good. Even in that, God is good. God is still good. God is still in control. God is still able to care for my children. None of this has slipped out of, whoa, it happened and he missed it. And so we have this exhortation to just rejoice in God. And I want to challenge you with that. Are we rejoicing in the Lord? Are we finding our life in the Lord? If we're not, we know what had happened. What is it with the woman in the well? Right? So all of a sudden, this weird thing, he says, you just picture the conversation if it was you. Hey, can I have some water? Could you draw me some water? Why are you talking to me? You're not supposed to be talking to me. And then he goes on, he says, well, you know what, really, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked me for water, and I would have given you living water, and you would never have to draw water again. It would be in you just a spring of water. I'm interested, but how, like, you know, start asking questions of the how. And then just saying, you know what? Well, wait a minute. Go call your husband. Call your husband here. Whatever it is, each one of us, that would be different, right? What we know is, simply put, Jesus was speaking to the one thing that she'd been going after to try and fill that hunger, to fill that thirst. It was in men, right? That's a natural thing in a relationship. But there's so many things that we can be. When God puts his finger on that thing and says, well, wait a minute. Maybe all of a sudden you're interested. You're saying, you know what? Yeah, I know that I have been hungering. I have been thirsting. I have been seeking life in other things. And you're saying, you know what? I'm interested in coming to the fountain of living waters. I'm interested in coming to Jesus Christ. Well, he will put his finger on that thing and say, you know what? We can't coexist, right? We can't coexist. It's me or whatever that thing is. But anyway, we need to be rejoicing in God, finding our life in him. Habakkuk, which is an interesting book, and this is a familiar passage at the end, but there's a piece in here. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, you've probably heard this, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. What does he say? Though everything is going wrong in my life and in the lives of everyone around me, my people, and in what we thought we were God's people, but everything is going wrong. He says, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:17-19, it says, the Lord is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Similarly, David says, these are very similar, but he says here, then the thirsting soul satisfied in God, Psalm 63. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So he was in the wilderness because he was being chased by Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. And so this is what he said, oh God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. We come back to this thought of thirsting. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I've seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. He's in a difficult, difficult spot. We need to be rejoicing in the Lord. We need to be diligently seeking the Lord. If we want to be rejoicing in him, we need to be feeding that. We need to be spending time with him. I planted a whole bunch of grass seed. Grass seed has gotten very expensive. So I've planted probably over an acre of grass seed. When my father-in-law was here, he's always willing to help me with a project. So I said, let's do it. I had the seed waiting. So we rolled it. We did everything to try and prep it. And we had one day of rain since then. And I'm just like, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain. I need rain for this grass seed. And so right now, as soon as we get the kids down, and I know that I've got a good chance, because we're on a well, right? It's different when you're on city water. You could just run that sprinkler all the time, just pay the bill. But when you're on a well, if we have the sprinkler on, basically there's no water in the house. Like the house becomes, you really can't do anything. And so as soon as the kids are down, I'm out there. I'm back out there and I'm literally headlamp on, bear spray on, I'm going to move this thing in the dark. I'm trying to do everything I can to get this seed to germinate. And the only way it's going to germinate is with a lot of water. And so I'm continually moving this sprinkler around from 5 till basically 10 this morning until I can tell, okay, the sprinkler's got to get turned off because Whitney can't do anything in the house until I turn it off, right? And I'm just seeing, like, man, this seed, if this is going to grow, it requires, like, not just getting, I can see in spots where I've been watering a lot, it's germinating. I can see the blades of grass popping up. But if I don't keep watering it, and that's kind of what I said, hey, I'm seeing germination. And Whitney was kind of like, yeah, you're going to have to keep watering because there's no rain in the forecast. You know, if we're going to continue to rejoice in the Lord, it's no different, right? We have to be seeking him. We have to be diligent, as Andrew said. We've got to be getting fellowship. We've got to be spending time with him. We're going to find our life in him. Otherwise, if we're not, all of a sudden, all of those little, that life that maybe we've experienced, it will fade away. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Andrew's kind of touched on some things. I wanted to just build on that a little bit with this thought of the fact that we can rejoice in the Lord. And it's just a thought that grabbed me. Rather than just saying, hey, brother, sister, you're going through a trial. You know, it still requires such a sensitivity. But by the grace of God, we can encourage ourselves and strengthen ourselves, and we can encourage one another by just being reminded that, you know what, our trials, there's no making light of them, or the circumstances some are going through, there's no making light of them. But you know what? God is good, and we can rejoice in him. And you know what? I'll say this lastly. It's not just when things are going difficult. This verse in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, I remember this time 10 years ago in maybe June. I flew down to Missouri, and it was the first chance I'd met Whitney let's say, first time, really, I'd met Whitney in person. I'd met her once at a conference and said hello. But I flew down and I got a chance to spend, a week with her and her family. And I went back to the airport to fly home. And probably, if I were honest, I think in my mind, because we'd spend a month corresponding before I actually had a chance to go down and spend time with her face to face, probably just from that correspondence, already my heart was kind of like, I really am starting to feel like this is the one. She was not there. I was there. You know, we can see we were in different places. But I remember going back to the airport and getting on the plane, and I distinctly remember this, sitting on the plane and having this verse come to my mind. Delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desire of your heart. Because the Lord knew the desire of my heart, especially now I'd had a chance to spend a week with her. I was probably pretty fully convinced that this is the one that I felt like the Lord had for me. But what's the point of that verse? I think one of you has picked that verse. I could be wrong. Maybe my memory's failing me of when you share your testimony of why you were baptized and saying a verse. You know, it's so easy in that verse is to focus on the second half of the verse, right? Even in good times, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But you know, whether things are going difficult, we need to rejoice in the Lord. But perhaps things are going well. And when things are going well, what does it say? Delight yourself in the Lord. And no matter what the circumstance, we find our life in Him. And I know that that was why when I read that verse and I was coming home and I didn't know necessarily where things would go with this relationship. I knew where I wanted it to go. But I just knew the Lord was saying, no matter what, there's one thing that is required of you. Delight yourself in me. Not in her, not in anything else. Delight yourself in me. I will do the rest. So just encourage you, whether it's a difficult time, whether it's a good time, let's be brothers and sisters. Let's be a body that rejoices in the Lord, delights in the Lord, finds our life in the Lord.